"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Welcome, everybody. You got one more, one more day. The cash contest, I think it is. Yeah,
that's right. Four more prizes to give away.
So four more prizes. We'll begin with the keyword at 2:20. Well, you can imagine our shock. Yesterday, of course, we were talking about this guy that drove into the police recruits in Whittier the other morning. Nicholas Gutierrez, we've learned is his name, a 22-year-old. And we had Sheriff Villanueva on the show yesterday in the 4 o'clock hour, who told us their investigation revealed so far that it looked like it was a deliberate act. Well, that became pretty big news. And then you could imagine our shock when hours later we learned he'd been released.
Yes, I woke up this morning, which I do every morning.
How does that make sense in any world of criminal justice? Well, it's L.A. County and George Gascon, but he's not involved yet, technically.
Yeah. Well, this is why Steve Gregory is summoned, to explain how a guy that the sheriff announced is suspected of intentionally mowing down 25 police recruits is released the next morning. Is it that bad even in L.A. County?
I was just as shocked as you guys, and I was coming back last night from the preview of a documentary on the L.A. City Fire Department, and it was after 10 o'clock, and by the time I got to my home, I saw this alert, and I thought it was a mistake. What I thought had happened is he bailed out.
I did too. Yeah. I had the same thought that bailed out somehow.
How the hell did he come up with $2 million in assets? You know, I'm thinking, wow, this, you know, there's a lot more to the story here. And then when I started to read, and it's like, no, he's been released under a very little known penal code, California Penal Code, which gives law enforcement the ability to release somebody before they've been arraigned if they feel like they can't hit that threshold of evidentiary. Proof to be able to give to the court. Right.
It's been my understanding is, yes, sometimes investigations take a while and you can't lock someone up immediately, but that in a case here where he's committed many crimes, that there's always something you could hang a hook on to hold him temporarily until you hit him with the big hammer.
Remember, observing the crime, even on video, as rough as it was, and eyewitness testimony is a far cry from convicting somebody of a crime. And getting to that point is going to take a lot of evidence. And this is a situation that, so let me put this to you this way, after my conversations with many people this morning. Let's say, for instance, God forbid, one of these individuals dies, one of these recruits dies. Now, if they arraigned him on attempted peace officer charges, and once they arraigned him on that charge, and then things happen after that, it could be very complicated and difficult. I'm also told that they didn't have all of the toxicology reports right or back yet. That could also play in. If they were going to try to charge him with a crime like attempted murder on a peace officer, they would have to prove intent. Now, if he turns out to have been impaired, now he blew a 0.00 roadside, but that doesn't mean he didn't have anything in his system. There's already been the talk about the marijuana. The sheriff said it on your show yesterday. I've also been told it was possible he was taking nitrous oxide, whippets.
Oh, wow.
And that's another one that had come up in the conversation. Two different people close to the case have told me that. So I can't confirm it. I'm just telling you that's what's been told to me. So if he had other substances in his system, that could be very difficult to prove that he had an intent on killing someone because he was impaired.
You can't add charges later? Like if one of the cadets dies, you could say now it's murder.
Yeah, see, this is
that
what I was checking.
That must have happened.
This is what I'm checking. But apparently, the way this is coming out, the way it's being structured is that it would be very difficult to do that after the fact because of whatever particular case or whatever particular nuances to this case is in effect. It was explained to me that they didn't want to take a chance and arraign him on this attempted murder charge until they had other things in place. That was just the way it was explained to me.
Are they going to ensure he doesn't take off?
Well, it's provisional. I think he already knows he's going to be rearrested. And the sheriff made it very clear. And then the investigator I spoke with said that it was a provisional release.
Right.
Which means he's coming back.
Right. But
John's right. He could be in Montenegro by now.
You really think that the sheriff's information or sheriff's enforcement bureau is... not sitting on this guy?
Well, I'm asking, what do they do? Do they got a 24-hour guard outside the house?
I'm just going to tell you that, it's not like the movies. So I'm going to tell you that, I'll just tell you that there's probably a group of people, and plus the media.
Right.
You got every TV camera sitting right on his house.
They're at the house. Yeah.
So you got to look in the back of the house, too.
You know, but Villanueva said on TV this: we operate under prosecutor George Gascon. We definitely have grave concerns about his ability to prosecute.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of because, the guy just ran over police recruits. I mean, that's to Gascon, that's like running over bugs.
Okay, now, let's see here. How can I do this?
We have to have a case that's ironclad, ironproof. Submitted to the DA for filing consideration. And so others said, Steve, it's a very complex case.
It is very complex because you're dealing with people that are not sworn police officers, though there were sworn officers in the mix, but I don't know that any of them were injured. Mm. So you've got that in play.
But 75 people saw that car coming at them. It's
a big crime if you run over 75 ordinary people, isn't it?
Exactly. But remember, the first charge was attempted murder on a peace officer.
Right.
So I think it's obvious that with the actual peace officers in play there, which would have been the instructors, and probably some deputies in the car in the front and the back, that, you know, that also includes them.
I just got to think there's been plenty of cases where somebody has been attacked, shot, and they don't die right away. They linger for a couple of weeks in a coma, and then they die.
Amend the charges.
And you amend the charges, right. So I don't see why that would be a great difficulty if the facts change.
Now, the only thing I can think of in this, and I don't have this for certain, is that... I think that they're using the same model they did when the two deputies were shot in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how tight-lipped? I couldn't get anything out of anybody on that case that day. And that was because they did not want to take any chances on screwing that case up. So the upside is, remember that the district attorney's office, they call it the COPPO unit. It stands for Crimes Against Peace Officers. That's a special team of prosecutors that go along with the cops and other detectives.
Right.
And so they're a part of this, and it's parallel the whole time. So they're aware of what's going on. So even they were a part of this, presumably, and they all realized they probably wanted to wait and do the bigger charges all at one time and not get him now because they're running out of time. They're running out of time to charge him with something because the clock's ticking. And they got the weekend, too. So they would have run out of time if they hadn't filed anything by today. They would have run out of time.
Now, the intentional act part, I'm hearing it again today, is that some of the cadets, the recruits, said that after he crashed into the light pole, he would not take his foot off the accelerator, like he wanted to keep running over anything and anybody he could. That's got to be a part of the case.
Well, again, we don't know whether that was as a result of trauma or shock.
Stuck.
Or because he was impaired. We don't know the reasons behind that. There's also been all this talk and chatter about people hearing the vehicles accelerate. But, that's all going to be part of the investigation. It's all conjecture at this point because we don't have the sheets in front of us that show what the witnesses have said. I will tell you this. You're talking about Gascon. Oddly enough, and if you want, I'm happy to get the audio and play it for you because Chief Moore from LAPD yesterday basically said that Gascon has been changing all his ways. and that what you think, what you guys were just talking about with how Gascon will charge this case and may look at this case is completely opposite of what you're thinking.
Really? Because I just got an email from Gascon today. You know what the title of the email was?
I got it too.
I will do everything I can to make sure the wrongly convicted are released from prison. So,
well, here's the thing. I can send it right now.
That sounds like Gascon to me.
But I'll send it to you right now because the question came up yesterday. I was covering this thing with the rail yard crimes, the rail yard thefts. And they recovered $18 million in stolen. A reporter says, well, Chief, and they had Deputy DA standing along the line there. Well, Chief, this is all fine and well, but, you know, what's to say these guys aren't going to get slapped on the wrist and they're going to be out an hour or two later? And then the chief launched into this whole thing about how he personally has noticed a difference in the DA's office. So you want to play that audio?
Yes, of course I do.
When Sheriff Villanueva says that, I'll believe it. Chief Moore.
Hey, well, he's the one.
He's kind of along the same lines. He's not the puppet.
Yeah, he's been
he's weak.
Well, Garcetti has had his hand.
Okay. Sorry, Steve, how do I get you in trouble with your...
Garcetti you're not going to get me in had trouble. His hand up Moore's back.
Moore took a knee.
Yeah.
Remember?
Okay, but that still doesn't discount.
He wanted to fund himself.
I'm sending it to Eric right now.
Okay. All right, why don't we take a break?
Okay.
And we'll play that. All right, we're talking to Steve Gregory.
That sounds dirty.
What?
Defunding yourself.
I hereby defund myself. Steve, of course, is here covering the story of the man that crashed into the police recruits. So they're out on a run in the area of Whittier. This is Nicholas Gutierrez. And the shock was that after we learned from Sheriff Villanueva, it looks like a deliberate act, he was released late yesterday, and it's because it's a complex case. They want to make sure they have everything in order before they present it to the DA for actual charges. Coming up next, Keyword, John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, we're with Steve Gregory here on the John and Ken Show, and of course he's been covering the story out of Whittier where the police recruits were run into by a guy behind the wheel of an SUV early the other morning. 75 recruits running, over 20 were hit. The update is that there are still 7 in the hospital as of last night, 2 in critical condition, and it says here the one they're really watching is Alejandro Martinez, who Sheriff Villanueva said had surgery Wednesday. He had major trauma to his head and multiple fractures. The shock is that the guy behind the wheel of this SUV that plowed into all of these police recruits, the man from Diamond Bar, Nicholas Joseph Gutierrez, has been released. And then the sheriff said yesterday on a couple of interviews, including our show, that they're thinking it's a deliberate act. But because of the way this is going to work and the way that they want to make sure that they have a ironclad case against him. And that's also the rule, too, Steve. You can't hold somebody for more than 48 hours without like a charge, a real charge.
Yeah, or something like
where
that,
is the guy staying?
He's at his home.
His parents' home?
At Diamond Bar. That's where he's from.
I think he does live with them.
Yeah. Shouldn't we have a live stream camera on the home?
I guess so.
Want to watch it. I want to keep an eye on it right here.
That's pretty much all the TV crews there. I mean, we're pretty confident that between the TV crews and the still photographers in L.A., I think he's going
to
there's
no underground
well
passage that goes to the neighbor's
backyard. Did we find out he has a job or anything? Or
we don't know anything about the guy. Nothing.
Rap sheet, no school, work.
I did get a text from somebody whose daughter knows him and says that they knew him in high school.
He was a good guy.
And that he has a heart condition.
He has a heart condition.
And so my text be a medical
was,
thing?
So I texted back and I said, what role did that play in this crash? And I've not heard back.
Nice try.
Yeah. And I want to give you some breaking news also. Robert Luna has had his first press conference since the election today.
And he's the puppet.
He's announced his transition team. Eric Parra, who is the chief of the Huntington Beach Police Department. Eileen Decker, who is a commissioner on the Los Angeles Police Department Board of Police Commissioners. And Richard Conant, who is a Long Beach Police Deputy Chief. So those are the three people that will be steering into his transition.
Was Luna sitting on the knee of Hilda Solis?
I was not there. But I will get a briefing on how things went. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, you wanted to talk about Gascon and something that LAPD Chief Michael Moore said.
Yeah. So this came up yesterday to bring everyone up to speed because John and Ken were talking about that perhaps Gascon's policies might play into how this prosecution would go. And something interesting came up from a press conference yesterday with Michael Moore, LAPD Chief, when he was asked about this rail yard theft ring that was busted up. And, you know, the reporter said, well, wait a minute, what about these? They get out on no bail, you know, they're out early release and all this other stuff. So here's the chief explaining that that's really not the case anymore.
The question, I believe, earlier is that earlier directives from the district attorney's office that date well over a year ago spoke about agency-wide directives for their filing deputies and practices within the prosecution of individuals for felony crimes, including the provisions of no bail or the use of no or not activating readily available enhancements and so forth. I'm happy to report that over the last more than a year, in regular conversations with District Attorney Gascon between him and I, as well as our teams, that we're seeing an evolution and changing of these directives. Today, we are seeing regularly the filing of gun enhancements, additional enhancements for individuals committing a felony, being out on bail or out on some type of release and committing a new felony, which has added enhancements. We're seeing bail being sought at both time of arraignment that previously was not.
Okay, John's choked up over this.
Clearly gotten to him emotionally.
Okay?
Apparently,
I see is a bottle of champagne in front of you. I don't know what that's about.
I haven't opened it yet.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I hear this stuff about Gascon, and I want to upchuck. I want to see proof of this. How many cases have been
sure? I mean, and I don't know any of that. I could just tell you that the chief, we got on the chief pretty good in the last couple of years because of all the smash and grabs and all the other issues that were going on, and we kept pushing the chief. Why should detectives go out there and actually track these people down, spend the manpower to go out there and do this when they're going to be out within hours? And the chief was getting hit on that pretty hard by us, press corps, constantly about this, especially when we saw how brazen all this stuff was going on. So I think the chief realizes that behind the scenes, I know behind the scenes, he's had these frank conversations with Gascon saying, listen, and you know, take Garcetti out of the equation. But I think Moore has had a very serious conversation with Gascon over all of this. But then going out of the room yesterday, a couple of reporters chuckled and went, yeah, let's look at the timing of all of this. You know, why is the evolution of his enhancements changing? Why are his directives changing? Well, he got beat up pretty hard, Gascon did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were all kind of chuckling, saying, well, it's pretty obvious why things are changing. But, you know, recall twice and then, you know, the smash and grabs, the visual of that happening constantly.
And in a year, the campaign for re-election will start.
Well, and see,
he's got to build some kind of record this coming year.
Well, and
he wants to run again.
And that's why what Ken got in the mail and I got email today, or both of us got in the email. That's why you're seeing the campaign. It's interesting because I have to register for all these campaigns so that I keep up to speed on what everyone's up to. And I'm getting barraged by his campaign constantly, Gascon, about all his achievements and accomplishments and whatnot. And please donate.
I was going to say, and they want money.
Oh, constantly.
They?
And then the texting and the.
How much did you give him?
I didn't give him anything. I gave him your Venmo number.
Very quick.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I gave him your Venmo. So
that's the way I do it. It's less of a trail.
But anyway, well, the proof will be in the fact that, you know, because what we were hearing about those cargo thefts is the complaint, and I think it was mostly from LA County Sheriff's deputies. We keep seeing the same guys. They get caught, and
yep.
They get released, and they're back out there stealing more stuff, and they're laughing at us.
Well, I'm glad to see the reporters have finally gotten on this bandwagon,
well,
too.
Well, they have been for a while. I can tell you there's three or four of us out there that do this on a regular basis, and it's the veterans in the press corps.
Right, yeah.
It's not
the woke people from the
kids,
LA Times.
The kids are all waiting for their questions to be sent to them on their phone.
Uh-huh.
I'm not kidding you.
Really?
I'm not kidding you. I swear to you.
What, their moms and dads send the questions in or what?
I.e. editors back at the station.
Really?
Yeah, they're sitting there. They wait, and then they'll literally, and I know you can't see it, but for John's purpose, they'll be like this. Yes, Sheriff, I want to know why you're looking at blah, blah, blah. Why are you in hand, blah, blah, blah.
And they're reading it
off their phone because their editors are sending them, especially if it's a live feed and the editors are back at the station listening to them. And then they'll type questions out to them.
Boy, after your generation dies out, the media is dead.
I literally look over at them when they're asking the question. They make no eye contact.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, really? And then, you know, then I love the day that I won't say what station. When they sent their entertainment reporter to a hardcore press murder conference, and that reporter never looked away from their phone because they had no idea what they were doing. I mean, I swear, it was hilarious.
There are labor shortages everywhere.
Was it Sam Rubin?
Sam Rubin.
No, Sam never leaves his chair. Are you kidding me? God, he never gets out of his chair.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. All right, Steve Gregory, KFI News. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I got to click this link, right? I'm just scrolling during the commercial break, looking for breaking news. And I looked at the Drudge Report, you know, which is dozens of headlines, right? White House studies blocking the sun to stop climate change. All right, I'll click the link. I'll go for it here. Let's see what I get. Oh,
some of his links are kind of...
Yeah, well, this is from...
Is the sun?
Well, this is from the Daily Beast.
Oh, the Daily Beast.
The White House admits we might
be satire.
We might need to block the sun to stop climate change. Is that right? This is a long article. It says it's a seven-minute read. Seven minutes?
White House, is there a name attached to that? Or is it just,
let me see.
The building says. I hate it when reporters do that.
Well, it's a lot of them come out.
If it's an anonymous source, that's another thing, too. But usually you get somebody on the record here.
Usually it's a press release. On October 13th, the White House announced that it was funding a five-year research plan into one of the most controversial proposals for fighting climate change, geoengineering, or technologies and innovations that can be used to artificially modify the Earth's climate. This is known as solar radiation management. It involves spraying fine aerosols into the atmosphere to reflect sunlight away from the Earth. The idea is once it's reflected, there'll be less heat and temperatures will go down.
Oh, man. All I can think of is Snowpiercer. Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, it was a movie and a TV show about how they tried to screw with global warming and climate, and they ended up freezing the planet, so everybody's stuck on this train going around the globe trying to survive because everything else is frozen over.
Was that a good movie?
It was a good movie, and it's now a TV show on TNT. It's a series.
Oh, is that right? I'd like to see that. That appeals to me.
And, of course, it's mostly about the political interworkings inside the train. You've got the low-class people and the rich people. Anyway, they fight for power. But that was the basic premise behind it, that they wanted to prevent climate change, so they did something that instead did the opposite froze us over. Knowing government, makes sense, doesn't it?
Can't you see that happening?
I do. As soon as I saw it, I said, makes sense. It's a good premise. I could see that happening.
Oh, my God. So they're going to spray a mist into the air to reflect the sunlight away. But this is our tax dollars. You know that stupid freaking spending bill that passed earlier this year?
Oh, right. Inflation bill.
That excreted out of
Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah. The thing Biden passed through his intestine. It came out, and this is what they're spending the money on.
Oh, that's what's in. Oh, okay. I see.
Oh,
they put up a big sunshade? Is that what they're going to do?
No, an aerosol spray. They'll have scientists walking around, just spraying like hairspray into the air.
Well, good that you brought that up because we come back to California and we always have problems with electricity and water, don't we? And water, of course, has been a big one, the drought. We now have a story that today they approved another desalination plant. And the way it's written in the Times, of course, it's this kind of, oh dear, over all the concerns for the underserved community that this will affect, they gave conditional approval to a controversial Monterey Bay desalination plant that even the commission's own staff said would unfairly burden a historically underserved community. What an expression that is. I see it all the time.
Underserved?
Yes, underserved.
What do they want
Well,
served?
Here's the bottom line. Do you really want a power plant? Do you want a refinery? Do you want a landfill in your neighborhood? No, no, and no. So if you have the wherewithal and financial means, you don't move to a place that has those things. If you do not have the wherewithal and financial means, you might have to end up buying a home or renting a home in an area that has those things.
Did you?
To the Times and people on the California Coastal Commission, this is abhorrent and must be corrected.
Yeah, the writer is Rosanna Xia, XIA.
Yes.
And it's about California American Water, which is as proposed... building a $330 million desalination project. Now listen to this. It's on a former sand mining site in the town of Marina, which is a small city with, listen to this, one-third of the community is low income and many speak little English.
Now, the plant would convert as much as 6.5 million gallons of ocean water to drinking water per day. It would be piped into neighboring cities and businesses.
Well,
it is expensive to do this, but the concerns are, it's usually the environmentalists just because the sludge that comes out when they separate the salt out, that's apparently what can impact the local waters, I guess.
We can't build any infrastructure in any place that has underserved people? I mean, where do you find the city that doesn't have underserved people? I guess Beverly Hills, right? Beverly Hills should have all the nuclear plants, all the desalination plants.
Yes. To be fair, they should be spread around. Like what's her name said yesterday, Karen Bass, that everybody's going to have to house the homeless, including higher income communities. You're going to have refineries, John, right, and power plants and landfills.
And all goes to Beverly Hills. Because everyone
they've been overserved. That's a line from a bar. I was overserved.
Everyone is overserved.
I love the word.
So wacky. I mean, that's nuts. Well, this is they're going to get to use the water too.
Yes.
The poor people, and I like this. Many speak little English. That's code for illegal immigrants. But they can't now.
They already have here. It says a regional landfill and a sewage plant in Marina.
What?
Oh, and of course the sand mine that has dredged away the coast for more than a century.
But you can't build a desalination plant again near people who speak other languages.
Well, they're usually it's more about lower income.
That's one of the greatest euphemisms I've seen because they're no longer illegal immigrants or undocumented or not in possession of proper documents. You know, all those windy 12-word explanations,
yes,
euphemisms for illegal aliens. Now it's many who speak little English.
Well, don't you love the hand-wringing? Because these progressive, woke, left environmental people that they probably consider themselves in the California Coastal Commission are now saying, well, it's great to be able to do what we do to, quote, preserve the environment. But man, the state is really running out of water. And, you know, we finally looked over to that corner, that dirty, dark corner where the word desalination is. And we're just going to have to do this.
We're running out of everything that keeps us alive. I don't know what kind of insane cult this is. They would like us to die. Eventually, they're going to be into human sacrifice, and they're going to start with little babies. People are going to have their babies snatched away, and this environmentalist crowd is going to say, no, no, this little baby here, eventually they're going to grow up, and they're going to start consuming water and power and food, and we can't have this. They're going to be using electrical appliances. They're going to be driving cars. So we're going to kill them now. To save the planet. It's this close, I'm telling you.
Yeah. The average household income in Marina is $35,000. So that's why they're considered low income, underserved.
Well, that is.
Oh, they're going to sell some of the water to nearby Castroville. Oh, that's who has the $35,000 average household. Castroville, a small community of farm workers.
Well, you have to earn money in order to get served.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, that's.
The desalinated water would cost at least $7,900 per acre foot.
The thing is, if it's already got the landfill and the sewage plant and the sand mine, then why not throw in a desalination plant? Then you just screw up one city instead of four. I mean, the place has gone to hell anyway, so.
You must spread the devastation. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Well, she wins. Tracy Park will be the new council member from John's Council District.
Yes.
Replacing Mike Bonin. She defeated Mike Bonin's endorsed candidate, Aaron Darling.
Even evil spawn.
Right.
And His
minion.
Eric Sklar, our technical director, gave me a present. He remembered that I once said when Bonin was finally done, I'm going to have some champagne on the air. And
until December 5th, I think.
I know, but today's the official day that Tracy Park is.
But he's still in office. He can still wreak havoc.
No, I know, but I'm going to celebrate today.
All right.
And
he bought you champagne?
A small bottle of champagne.
I see.
Well, Ray doesn't drink, and I'm not allowed to drink while I'm running the board, so I didn't want to get a full bottle.
You can't drink and drive, yeah.
What is that, a plane in there?
It is. Imagine the disaster.
Like, if you got drunk, we'd notice the difference.
Well, thanks. I'm just following the rules here.
This is nice little mini bottle of champagne.
We're going to open it up next hour.
I'm
going to
open it up when she comes on, yes, and celebrate and toast Tracy Park.
In true fashion, the El Segundo Times doesn't care about that. She is now the sixth woman on the council. Okay. So there's a lot of women now in the LA City Council.
When you get to six, is that something to put in the headline?
It's a record.
Oh, record number of women.
Yeah, it's a record number of women on the LA City Council,
right.
Six.
Well, so far I see that all this diversity, they're not performing any better than any monolithic group, put it that way.
Speaking of the council, guess who I heard interviewed?
Who?
Mark Ridley Thomas. He's coming back, he says.
The disgraced?
Well, he considers himself still a member of the Los Angeles City Council. I was elected, and I am still the councilman. The way he talks, this guy, I hadn't heard him in a while. It just cracks me up. It's all slow and like Earl Jones talking.
He's this deep, rumbly, ponderous voice that he has. Well, the dean at USC.
I know she made a deal.
She's already pleaded. Guilty.
She copped it. I don't know what chance he has.
So if she's pleading guilty to taking the bribe, how's he going to get out of being convicted?
They're going to say they didn't think of it as a bribe.
Well, she did.
I know, but do you have it on tape that she said, here's your bribe, Councilman Ridley Thomas?
I don't know. Has there ever been a case where the person getting the bribe pleads guilty, but the person giving the bribe somehow got out of it?
You have it reversed. She's the one that gave the bribe, and she pled guilty, but the person giving the bribe got out of it. That the person getting the bribe got out of it.
No, that's what I said. Well, you know what I'm saying. Right. Where one party says, I'm guilty, and the other party gets out.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I
don't think that happens. How could it happen?
Well, we were just talking about the underserved communities. They're going to, they're okaying a desalination plant in an area up in the Bay Area.
Underserved.
Which is considered low-income underserved. The L.A. County Board of Supervisors just created themselves a brand new little office. The L.A. County Office of Environmental Justice and Climate Health. This is no joke. It'll be part of the Department of Health. Barbara Ferrer's Department of Health. It'll be carved out of the county's Department of Public Health. And they're going to get an interim director within 30 days. And this person is going to address environmental pollution, which disproportionately affects low-income communities and people of color. All there is now.
What are they going to do?
I guess the reckoning is that, our longtime capitalist system has led people to believe there's so much to correct out there.
You know what it is? None of this you can change. None of this you're going to change. So what they've done is they've created these boards and commissions and agencies so that all their woke friends can make six-figure salaries and hold meetings all day and talk about it. This is a big scam.
They claim they're going to go after this industry that here's the communities they're targeting. Avocado Heights, sounds nice. Hacienda Heights, La Puente, and Bassett. They're located near this big battery recycling plant in the lovely city of Industry.
Well, they're recycling batteries. Isn't that a good thing?
And the plant has paid $600,000 in penalties for air pollution violations in 2020. But what happens to that money? You see, this is just like the homeless industrial complex.
That's right. Where does
all
the
they're going
to
do is fine these companies, and then they're just going to take the money and line their pockets.
It's about punishing capitalists, punishing businesses.
Yes,
that's all it is. It's all a scam. I mean, they do this in communist countries. They want to confiscate money, confiscate property, have intensive regulations to give them a pretext to looting the place. And that's what they're going to do with this agency. It's just going to be another way to loot businesses.
Environmental justice. Now, the other thing they're doing with the climate change, we've talked about this before, but this story has a picture. They're coating the streets. You don't remember this, John? They have
to
cool off the streets. It's called the cooling coating. They put it down in North Hollywood about a year ago. They're going to put it in more neighborhoods. Allegedly, you put this down on the sidewalk or the pavement, rather, the road, and it results in a cooling down of the temperature, they say. They've done this in Pico Union, Westlake South, North Hollywood, Canoga Park, Sylmar, Vermont Square, South Central, and Boyle Heights.
Well, yeah, well, it does right there at the spot. Because, you know, on asphalt, black asphalt in the sunlight absorbs a lot of heat, and the asphalt itself could be like 130 degrees. So obviously the
air. How much do you think this cools it down then? It's kind of like a white coating, it looks like.
White reflects sunlight back into the atmosphere. Black
absorbs. Right, but would it cool it down like 50 degrees? Or would it cool it down like.
It'll cool it. I would assume it would cool it to the overall air temperature.
Oh, no. All right, so if it's 100 degrees, yeah.
Yeah, it'll stay at 100 degrees, but it won't be 130 when you walk on the asphalt.
Which, and allegedly, I guess, because the asphalt is hot, it makes the neighborhoods hot. Because the other thing they talked about in this story is that they're giving up on the cooling centers.
No one showed up in them.
Yeah, we did that story a few months ago. Oh. Nobody's showing up at them. So they want to get so people are cool in their own homes.
Oh, so we're not going to hear news people read the addresses of cooling centers anymore.
Probably not. They went bust.
Oh, I saw an article. I think it was in the Times. Where they actually went to the cooling centers, and it was lonely.
Like two people, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And it was really boring because they were just sitting on chairs and staring.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't...
Unemployed and retired people just kind of sitting there taking a nap or reading something.
There is no level of heat that would get me to go and sit in a chair in an empty room and stare. It's like, I'll tough it out. I'll find a park and sit under a tree. I mean... Come on.
Well, go ahead. Paint the streets. I think the point here is they're just adding more bureaucracy to the county government. That's just nice. Let's hire a whole bunch of people chasing after environmental justice.
Yeah. The thing is, they're not doing it for, like, science reasons. It's just to fund an entire bureaucracy and claim it's environmental justice. And then, you know, they'll do a little bit of work painting a few streets because you need a cover story, right?
A few more companies and pocket the money, and onward we go. Not like you're going to change everything. All right, when we come back, we will be talking to newly elected city council member Tracy Park. This is Council District 11, the seat long held, unfortunately, by Mike Bonin. Goes to the right candidate, and one of the few wins you can see in this election. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
And Mark Ronner, live the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.